Taking you back a few years with this one from Britney Spears. It's Stronger on Radio Life and Style. 8:30. Welcome to your Tuesday morning. Here with Mike in the Morning, coming to you from out of the blue. And speaking of Stronger, when it comes to security on the local security scene on the KZN North Coast, well, the strongest team I know, IPSS Electronic Security, keep things under a watchful eye. And in the studio with me right now, in the red uniforms, we've got the team from IPSS Electronic Security, Mr. Frank Labidi, the leader of the team, on microphone number one. Frank, good morning to you. Happy Tuesday. How are you
good
doing?
Good morning. Happy Tuesday.
Great to have you. Thank you. And alongside you, the lady who heads up the social media and the marketing side of things, Claire Petzer. Claire, how are you today?
I am good, thank you.
Oh, you weren't expecting to be roped into the microphone. Sorry, I just threw you in the deep end there. But actually, I really wanted to catch up with Frank and find out your perspective, Mr. Labidi, on the recent events. Since we last chatted, quite a few things have happened, and one of the biggest, you know, stealing national news headlines, obviously, was the much-anticipated March national shutdown, as it was being billed. It didn't quite reach national shutdown levels, I don't think. But from your perspective, how did it all unfold, and what was your take on the day that was at the end of June?
Look, firstly, luckily it didn't become a national shutdown day, because it would cost the economy far too much. It's like it's people don't seem to understand the impact it has on everyone, and I say everyone, mostly obviously. It always ends up the hardest hit is the work on the ground. So yeah, luckily it didn't come to this. From a security perspective, we had meetings with SEPs. So we had prior meetings, briefings, etc. We were asked to secure certain areas in Balito and Salt Rock. I personally secured the bridge with our armored troop carrier. So we were completely set up. We were ready. But I personally didn't expect anything to happen, to be brutally honest. Mm. But we were ready. Yeah, we were ready with equipment. We were ready with communication and backup, etc. And so on. But as I said, personally, I didn't think anything will happen in Balito or Salt Rock, because the march is against, illegal immigrants. So I don't think that we have too many illegal immigrants around here compared to the centers of Durban, Johannesburg, big cities.
Yeah.
So I personally I didn't expect anything major to happen. I didn't even expect a march. The thing I told myself, I didn't even expect a march to happen here in this area.
So obviously the media was really paying close attention to how things were unfolding, and there was so much hype and a lot of stuff floating around on WhatsApp and social media. The general public was really kind of standing on eggshells. But being in your position, having the information that you have and having that perspective, I suppose gave you that confidence and that cool head. But like you say, you were ready. And the day came and the day went. But now there are still these rumblings. Read from representatives of the March and March movement that the marching continues, and they say the government's got 3 months to meet their list of demands, otherwise there's going to be a real shutdown coming. Your opinion?
Well, the EFF tried it when? About 2-3 years ago, the national shutdown. They called for national shutdown. Nothing happened. You must also remember that SEPs, when we had the riots, I don't think, and I never speak negative about SEPs, but I think they had information and they didn't act on the information. And we always say, if you have information and you get to the source of that info, then you act on it. If you don't get to the source, you don't. But I think during the riots, for example, I honestly think that SEPs had the source of the information and didn't act on it.
This was July 2022.
Yeah. That's why we got surprised. With the EFF, same thing. We had meetings when they asked for the national shutdown. So we didn't think anything would happen there. And if it would have, then we would have sort of stopped that. The same now. I mean, you had an interview, I think, the day prior to it with, was it Munshu Munshu, what's his name?
We had a representative.
Who got quite excited, like during the interview with your dad.
Yeah.
Who calmed him down a little bit. But then we all, I mean, you know, it is a passion, I guess. But I don't think it will just stop in the middle of the track. Mm. But we also must ask ourselves, is it really about the illegal immigrants, or is it more political? Because I personally think it's more political. Again, who are the people who are leading this march? Where are they coming from? Which fraction of, or which party are they coming from? Mm. Which party are they aligned with? Which person are they aligned with? And so on and so on. Yeah. If you look at that, I guess it's more a political organized thing than just a get the illegal immigrants out of South Africa.
And obviously, this, you know, all of those factors you're keeping tabs on, and you're running the calculations from month to month, seeing where the temperature of things go. So if in 3 months' time it looks like there is more activity and there's a need to mobilize again on the security cluster scene, I have no doubt you'll be ready for what rolls around. This last event, the end of June, did IPS have to put together additional boots on the ground, any additional preparations from a security perspective that you put in place? I mean, you mentioned the bridge being a sort of key focal area.
Yeah, we had several I can't divulge, besides the bridge, I can't divulge the other ones, but we had several observation points, but I don't really want to, like, you know, tell the public where it was, because if I tell the public, then I also tell potential future protesters where it is.
For sure.
You obviously always like secure the entrance of your town, which is other bridges. Like, that's so I don't need to make like any secret of that. But yeah, we didn't have additional personnel on ground. I mean,
you had enough.
We had enough personnel, which was deployed at the strategic point, which we were asked to man by SAPS, and which we did, I think, pretty well. And not only us, other companies as well. But being the biggest, we obviously had the most people on ground, most members on ground, most vehicles on the ground. Look, as I say, it will happen again. But the other thing is that. We were pretty calm about it. I was pretty calm about it. We were pretty calm about it. I think we were calmer than SAPS itself, to be brutally honest. So really? I was pretty calm about it, yeah. But then there are these, and that's I think the danger of social media. I always had to clear as well. The danger of social media is that people spread rumors, and they hear something, and they hear from A, and A heard it from B, and B heard it from C, and C heard it from D, and then it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then we have these I call them fear mongers, especially on social media, and they say, whoa, this will happen, this will happen.
Yeah.
But they don't even know, they don't know the source. They heard it from A, from B, from C, from D. They don't know the source. And they spread fear amongst others. And others, like, they sort of, you know, hang on to that and go with it. And that's the danger. That's the danger we have all the time.
I suppose what you've got that the average social media user doesn't have is you've got this control room. You've got this intelligence nerve center, and you've got live communication with people on the ground. You've got aerial observation, you know, whether it's drone or chopper in some cases. And you're getting your own first-hand information of what the day is looking like, how it's unfolding.
Of course. Number one, yeah, you're 100% right with that. But on the other side, we also have our informers on the ground. And we were told by the informers that there's no way they're coming here. There's nothing planned for this. Also, again, I can't go into detail, but I think we would know if somebody approaches the Walita Saltrock area, we would know that about half an hour before, like a good half an hour before. Distance-wise, I would personally know, like, if they are 10 kilometers away from the town entrance, Walita and Saltrock. So it is covered, you know, it's like, but yeah, people shouldn't spread like rumors, shouldn't spread fear. you know, leave it up to the professionals. Ask us, you know, ask us by all means, you know, ask us, have you got backup? And then we will say, and then people come with emergency plan. What is your emergency plan? Don't worry about it. I have emergency plan. If every estate or every client of ours ask me what my emergency plan is, it will take me most probably 2 years to explain to everyone, like, you know, it's just take it as yes, we've got our emergency plan set up. It's all done. So just take it as yes, and don't panic. Just relax. Don't panic.
that's the motto. The lesson from today. Keep calm.
Yeah, keep calm. Keep calm. And no, we handle it.
Keep IPSS on speed dial.
Well, it's true. Keep calm. Don't spread fear among others. And I think that's a big, as I say, that is the biggest problem, you know, and then it's a snowball effect. A, you know, now again, A hears it from B, B hears it from C. Now we have three people who are up in arms and three people phone you instead of one person. So just keep calm and we have everything under control and we always will, since we have learned our lessons in 2000, whenever it was 22, I think you said earlier, yeah. We learned our lessons. It won't happen again, especially with the, with the tools we have at present, it will not happen again.
Well, this
and if you look back at 2022, what happened to Bolito? What happened to Saltrock? Nothing happened to Bolito. Nothing happened to Saltrock.
That was the strong takeaway from that pressure cooker moment. Those couple of days, where at the end of it all, the systems that had been stress tested held together, and like you say, those key checkpoints were controlled, were manned, and things were still standing at the end of it. So all of that valuable lesson learning being now applied and carried forward, this recent March and March event or non-event, being a great, I think, confidence builder in the local forces from the security scene, with IPSS electronic security being front and center, and working in collaboration with SAPS and sharing information and doing all the things that one would hope. I think from a local confidence and peace of mind perspective, we're in a better place than we were before the 30th of June as a community, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, we are now more. If we are more informed, then we are better organized. But also, since 2022, I mean, that is 4 years, we have improved on equipment. We have bought additional equipment, heavy duty equipment. We have, obviously equipment. Again, I don't want to mention, weaponry has been upgraded for riot purposes, because you can't go in. I don't want to sound like a general here going to war, but, you know, you obviously use certain equipment for crowd control, and you're not going in with your assault rifle and your sidearm if you want to control the crowd a little bit. That's not what you do,
yeah.
Because that's the last thing you do. So we have sort of spent money to upgrade on that side, you know, to have the right equipment should something happen. But I mean, the marches were relatively, what I saw on TV, the marches were relatively, I would call it incident free. Besides, you know, you always got your splinter groups who are opportunists, who, you know, who leave the main group and they throw stones that don't really belong into that crowd, into that group. I honestly don't believe so. So you get that all over the place. And I mean, watching the footage, and I did watch the footage. I watched the footage, especially obviously in Durban, because that's sort of what would give us a similar reflection, what could happen to us. And I didn't see any problems there. Not at all.
Well, it's been interesting to get your opinion, your take on things after the fact, Frank. And it's been, you know, for me, reassuring to know that the capability is there. The plans are well laid for multiple potential scenarios, and we'll definitely be keeping the line tight as we get a few months down and we see whether that 3 month threat of another real national shutdown rears its head again. But for anyone listening to this, if you're feeling the confidence that I'm feeling, and if you'd like to get in touch with IPSS Electronic Security, whether you're a private individual or a company, a business, a corporate entity, looking to get the best on your team. Claire, what's the smartest way to reach out to contact and to find out more about IPSS Electronic Security?
You guys can find us on Instagram and social, Instagram and Facebook, IPSS Electronic Security, or call us on 0861-324-777.
Easy as that. Just Google or ask ChatGPT, IPSS security, bonito, and they'll put you in the right direction. And you can, obviously on a regular basis, hear it right here on Radio Life and Style. The perspective from my special guest, Mr. Frank Labidi. And Frank, thanks for giving us the word on a Tuesday morning. Wishing you an incident-free week ahead.
Thank you.
And we'll chat again real soon on Radio Life and Style.
Looking forward to it.
You heard it here on your local station. Bringing you back to the music. MGMT and an electric feel.